Fischnitz, handmade pan-cooked schnitzel, and Melbourne Airport parking. You can now park closer for cheaper.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
And you wouldn't want to be working anywhere else on a day like this, ahead of an unbelievable sporting 4 or 5 days. Oh. Round one of the AFL season kicks off tonight, Whisper. It is Carlton and Richmond. It's going to be extraordinary. We've got the Test Match cricket on, we'll be on Classic Rock 1377 until the footy's over, then you get back to 1116 SEN.
Gary, I had dinner with some international guests in our city last night, and they can't believe the buzz that is in this city right now.
Well, they'll be in front of the radio right now because a brand new segment's about to take the radio world by storm. It's time for Front and Square.
It would help if you could get the name right first up, Gaz.
God, damn.
It's front and centre, and this morning on front and centre, 173 days of celebrations and preparations. All done and dusted. It all starts, as you said, at the G tonight. We can't wait for that. And I'm going to ask to you guys, for each of the Melbourne teams, is it glass half full or glass half empty? We'll touch base with the Richmond fans. How are they feeling? Are they ready to put it all behind them? We think the team is. Also, as we're all looking forward to the season, we'll continue with this story about St Kilda, who seem to be looking back after the comments from Nick Revolt last night. We'll touch base with our very own Nicky Del Santo to take us inside the four walls of Seaford that did stand in the past. But, of course, they've moved now down to Moorabbin. So let's get into front and centre, Gaz. At 8 minutes past eight. Coach Gary and Coach Tim as well. I'm going to ask you some questions about the weekend ahead a little bit later on. But I want to, Tim, you just touched before we get into half full or half empty. Do you think the Richmond fans are ready to put behind them the premiership?
No, I don't.
And if not, is that a fact? Is that a factor for the club and the, therefore the players?
No, it's not.
Given the history of with the Bulldogs last year?
No, I don't think it is. I think that everything that we've seen and heard out of Richmond right now says to me that they are in the right place and the right space to take on this season. But it will only be the performances they put on the board over the first probably month or two that will determine whether or not they're still thinking about what they achieved in 2017.
You're asking whether that can permeate through to the playing group.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
And I don't think it gets to the playing group, but I think it can permeate through the administration if you're not careful.
I think we saw that with the Bulldogs, didn't we, last year?
This sense of self-satisfaction that they'd got there. And, I heard a lot of... I'm not saying this is from the actual administrators, but the narrative around it was, from a supporters at times, is when things started to not go well for the Dogs, was, I don't care if we don't win another one for 20 years because we've already got our premiership. And they,
that was from the supporters.
How far that seeps in is the question.
Okay. Hunter, did you just say then, though, that it did happen at the Bulldogs last year with the administration?
Well, only in that they were still talking. I think it's really hard because it was an incredible event for the Bulldogs. So I'm not actually being critical, but Peter Gordon was still happily talking about it, round eight, round nine, about, still, and he was joking to a degree about still watching the DVD. So I'm not trying to be critical, but they're big, big posters, big, you walk through the Western Bulldogs and there's massive photos of the premiership. And again, the players have to walk through that every day. I'm not being critical of that. But
do you think that wouldn't be the case at Richmond right now? There'd be no sign of what took place last year anywhere.
I think there is, but I haven't actually been in there since it, but I believe there is.
Jack Revolt told us, didn't he?
In the players' room somewhere, there's at the back, I think there's a photo of the day, but I think they'd be very conscious of it. And I think the Bulldogs were, and they did their best to try and put it in the right spot. And I think almost, I felt with some of the players, they almost tried too hard and didn't even acknowledge. Easton Wood told us he hadn't even watched the grand final. Mm. And I found that extraordinary. So there's a balance there, isn't there?
It's a great intrigue. It is the intrigue of the season.
Always, whether or not there's going to be a hangover. 9429 1116. Are you following Dimmer's lead and the rest of the Richmond players' lead? Have you put it behind you, or are you going to bask in the afterglow a little bit longer?
Not according to our man, who just said he watched the grand final replay last night with half a dozen tinnies, and the Tigers will be 8-1 back to back. Sean from Botanic Ridge.
Yeah, well, it is. I think we're planning to chat to the cheer squad leader, Jared Egan, at some stage before 9. We might see if we get him. I'll see if he's ready to move on or not.
No, I saw some vision of, we're talking Tigers, of the Blues, who are the other opponent of tonight, of course. And, gee, there was a buzz, only from the news reports. They had former players down there at training, watching them running around.
Yeah, saw Diesel down there.
Diesel was there. Summer was out. There's a good sense of optimism about that footy club as well.
Well, just before we speak to let's get into a bit of glass half full, glass half empty, because we're just going to do the Victorian teams. I'll start with Carlton. So this is what I'm going to do. I'll give the view from the glass half full, view from the glass half empty, and then get you to which one are you more, full or empty on these teams. So glass half full for Carlton. One of only five teams to win both JLT games. Talent assembled is undeniable. Curnow's ready to rip. Cripps is fit and about to be one of the best mids in the comp. Kennedy gives them grunt. Paddy Dow's already made an immediate impact through the JLT. And Bolts has taught them finally how to move the ball and score. Ooh. They're headed for the eight.
I'm on board.
Glass half full. Okay, glass half empty. Some positive signs, but you've got to be realistic. Their best player for last year, Sam Doherty, gone. And their best mid, Bryce Gibbs, are also gone. The kids are too young to achieve anything in 2018.
I'm a half fuller. I think and that was pretty self-evident by what you just said there. They'll, of course, miss Sam Doherty, who's a star. But I think the third or fourth year of Brendan Bolton, fourth year, has got to a stage where he's assembled a list with Stephen Silvani that will allow him to be a little bit more expansive in the way he plays. And the numbers tell you in the JLT they've done that. They sacrifice some of their defensive stuff in the process, Wisp. But I'm half full.
I think they're going to massively miss Gibbs. I think he was even underrated. And Doherty, too, across halfback. Two of their best three players last year. You don't replace those, and they haven't replaced those over the summer months. Even though they've recruited well and they've got some young players into that mix, I still think they're at that bottom part of the competition.
All right. The Tigers, hard to be too empty on them, but half full premiership side, only getting better. Best spread of elite players in the business who play on different lines. I think that's an important part, including Dusty, who's the very best and plays on two lines. No one is too old, perfect demographic. Have come back hungry, as the JLT showed. Recruits like Jack Higgins, together with hungry players who missed out like Bolton, Conker, Miles and Corey Ellis, will keep everyone on their toes. Half empty. Following on from a flag is tough, as we've discussed. It's almost impossible to have the same drive, especially when the fans, like we're about to speak to now, will be ever present with big photos on the wall. Can't expect to have the same run with injury to the best four players who barely missed a game. Other teams now know what to expect from their pressure. Dimmer can say what he likes, but they'll be the hunted this year. The scoring was off the charts in the finals last year. Surely they can't keep that going. Are you glass half full or glass half empty, Tim?
I'm glass half full. I don't know how you can be possibly glass half empty about Richmond. I still think they're on the rise. And they still, their brand of football, right? Their brand of football is to hunt. That's what made them so great last year. We didn't talk about their ability to go out there and score and attack. It was the same thing last year.
Can you do the same when you've got a target on you?
That's the unanswered question, but I think that's the way they play. That's they're the benchmarks in everything that they do. It's the pressure that they apply to the opposition, the way they hunt.
I'm half full, but I found a weakness.
Where?
The team's been announced. Jaden Short is playing centre-half back, and he's on Levi Casbolt, who's at centre-half forward. That's about 3 metre size difference.
Is he the shortest centre-half back that's ever lined
short,
up?
He's a short centre-half back.
It just underlines the paper teams mean absolutely nothing these days.
Nonsense.
All right, quarter past eight. Now, Richmond are going to honour the Tiger Army tonight. This is interesting. Maybe it goes a bit to what we've been discussing, because in the past, my memory is with most flags, the players, it's always been awkward, but the players have been lining up. And the flag has been unfurled from the previous season. Well, Richmond players will not be there tonight. This is all going to happen while they're still in the rooms. So Richmond they're going to honour the Tiger Army. I think they've got a member for each of the 11 flags they've previously won. We're expecting a crowd of over 90,000. And Richmond flag bearer tonight and cheer squad president Jared Ryan has... Jared Egan.
He's not the Jake, man.
Has joined us on the line. G'day, Jared.
He hung up when you called him Jared Ryan. Right. Understandably, too. Yeah. I like the fact that the players are going to be down in the race. Yeah, and I think that isn't pointed to what you're talking about.
What are they afraid of?
Well, they're not afraid of anything, I don't
think. So why don't they stand out there on the ground like previous clubs have done and just watch the flag hurl?
Because they're
up
not going to do it in round two or three or four.
It doesn't matter, though. It's an appreciation.
Well, I think, ask me.
Yeah, I know. But
why change your routine? If this is their pre-game routine that they're going to have throughout the course of the season, why change it for round one? They've had plenty of celebrating the players.
Well, what happens during the finals? What happens on Anzac Day?
Don't come out and look at a flag being
Well, you have to line up, though, don't you? I mean, that's all they're doing, really. They're just lining up there on the ground.
No. Both teams do that. I don't reckon Carlton are going to line up for the hoisting of the Richmond flag, are they?
But what difference does it make?
I just told you.
I'm saying that I think that they should be out there. They should be lined up, and they should be looking at the flag.
Jared, join us again. Jared Egan, the Richmond flag bearer and cheer squad president. G'day, Jared.
G'day, guys. How are you?
We're great. Now, you joined the cheer squad in 1977, so obviously a long-time man, Tiger man. Tell us, are you ready to put the flag behind you?
Not quite yet. we've got a bit of celebrating still to do. Tonight is a huge night, and I think the party continues tonight, and depending on the result, it could continue on for a few more weeks.
Let's be honest, Jared. If you don't win another flag for 20 years, you won't mind, because last year was so great.
No, I want a flag this year again.
Okay.
I want back to back.
Well, fair enough, too. And you
What's your role tonight?
I'm one of the flag bearers tonight, so get to carry the flag from Punt Road across to the G, and then a lap around of the G before we hand it over to Peggy for raising the flag.
Are you disappointed the players won't be out there on the ground to see that unfurled? I would be.
Shut up, Wispy. Let him answer the question and stop trying to lead the witness.
No, look, it would be nice if they were, but they're at the same thing. They're back to business tonight, and getting another win on the board for the Tigers to kick the season off.
Before we let you go, Jarrett, what about grand final night? What happened for you and the cheer squad?
Quite a bit of celebrating of that night. It's very, very good. We went to a place in Richmond and had a meal and a few drinks and sang the song a few times.
I reckon you're still in premiership mode, Jarrett, and you should be as well. Good luck tonight. It's going to be a great occasion for all the Richmond supporters. Thanks for joining us.
The Schnitz, handmade pan-cooked schnitzel, and Melbourne Airport parking. One-hour terminal parking, now only $12.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
To go down to Seaford, away from the spiritual home, yeah, it crushed the group at the time.
I think in the end, Seaford really became a symbol for what they'd missed. But there were other factors as well, but Seaford certainly wasn't a place where the senior players wanted to be.
One of those senior players is our very own Nick Del Santo, who's been good enough to join us this morning. Del, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
If you've got young children, you would have been up and about early. You across this whole situation with Rui and now Scotty Waters this morning?
I didn't hear Scotty's comments. I didn't hear Nick say that last night, but to be honest, I knew how Nick felt. This has been going on since, I think we moved there after the Christmas break 2011. And Nick's comments, I guess, ring true to myself and, you know, a large part of that playing group that had grown up at Moorabbin. And I was thinking about it this morning, and people, if they're trying to struggle to understand what Moorabbin means, the same Kilda people, it's the same as the Junction Oval to Melbourne or Arden Street to North Melbourne. And the only exception I could probably find was Hawthorn and Glen Ferry, but it's the spiritual home. There's something about it that you can't touch it and you can't really see it. You just feel it. And, I think going to Seaford, it just didn't feel like home for a long period of time.
Can you understand then some of the reaction from the broader population who are saying, this is a joke, you blokes are soft, I'm a miner, I get up and travel 500 kilometres going to joints I don't want to go to either, but our expectation is you deal with it and get on with it. You might have a week where you're feeling with your nose is pointed out, but you get on with it.
Yep.
When asked whether the move had ripped the soul out of the club, Rui said, no doubt.
Yeah, that's
a strong call.
Yeah, and it is. And in some ways, it's probably right. I mean, I was a professional athlete, and our job was to perform. But to put it simply, Gaz, it was a place that we didn't really want to be. And sorry about that, it's a little colour.
That's right. So that's twice now. That's two of the most senior players of the St Kilda Footy Club saying they're at a place they didn't want to be.
Yeah.
Did you raise this? Did you bring this up with senior management?
It was a tough start to 2011. We'd also come off two lost grand finals, which is obviously heart-wrenching and emotional.
But also then we're moving to somewhere. And I still remember the day that Archie Fraser, who was the CEO at the time, told us that we were moving from Moorabbin to Seaford. And it started off as, you know, it's a 20-minute drive, guys. It won't be a huge change to your lifestyle. You probably spoke for 20 minutes. By the end of it, he conceded that it was about 45 minutes. Yes, I think, in hindsight, maybe we were a bit precious that we were so attached to Moorabbin, but we loved it. We loved everything about that place, and then we were told to go to Seaford, which felt a bit artificial. It wasn't our home. And yes, the facilities are really nice, but to be honest, Gaz, I would have taken Moorabbin the way it was when we left in 2010, where there was parts that were literally falling down, when our ice bars were a pre-mould spa and we'd sit around it. I would have taken that over going to Seaford any day of the week.
Had you stayed at Moorabbin then, in that mindset, do you think you would have been more successful?
I wouldn't say we would have necessarily won anything more, but I think our 2011 campaign, where I think we lost to Sydney in the first final, I think we would have had a better season. What that would have ended up being, I don't know, but I think we would have had a better year, yes.
Dale, good morning. To follow up what Gaz said then, at any stage did you as a leadership group go, right, this is clearly an issue. Obviously, we can't move back to Moorabbin, but we have to embrace this place.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah, we did. We had multiple meetings, Hutto, where as a senior group, and we had a really strong leadership group at that stage. And obviously, Nick was the head of it. We also had guys like Lenny Hayes, some other really senior players that had been through a lot together, where we basically had to just sort of suck it up a little bit. We were at a place that we didn't want to be, but our messaging to the group, and this wasn't discussed publicly, never spoken about publicly, but we definitely discussed it internally about, okay, we need to just dig in, get back to work, and just go about our job and just trying to get better every day, to be honest. But there was always a feeling that, we just weren't where we really wanted to be location-wise. And it's not about the travel, it's not about Seaford personally as a place, but it's just something special to St Kilda people about Moorabbin. It was simple as that.
Well, I'm sure the St Kilda supporters who are listening now are damn happy they're back there.
Yeah, well, that's the positive side of it, isn't it?
You've got to look at an upside.
Well, you know what's funny? I was there a couple of days ago just catching up with a couple of people at some work stuff, and it's a new facility. It's got everything that it needs, and it was very similar to Seaford when we first went there. Everything's brand new and everything looks Mickey now, but it's at Moorabbin, and it had that feel again, even though everything was new. So I think, if anything, that the heartland of the St Kilda people, which they've known for decades, apart from probably the last 8 years, I think it's back. So it was a really nice feel the other day.
There was no lattes around out at Seaford either, was there, Del, really?
Well, that was the other time, Hutto. It's, and once again, nothing against Seaford. It's a lovely place down there near the water.
You're not selling me on Seaford, Del.
Well, I wouldn't expect you down there with me anytime, so you'd probably drive there and get down to your house in Portsea, but we did have a nice little base set up around here. We had some nice cafes, and it wasn't unusual for 20 of us to go for lunch for an hour or two every day together. So it was very comfy at some point.
Del, it's a very busy weekend of sport ahead. We appreciate you giving us some time this morning, and good calling.
Thank you very much, Gaz. Have a good day.
Nick Del Santo.
Has it changed your thoughts?
No, of course not. Nick confirmed exactly what the other Nick had said, and yeah, that's the judgment's not on that. The honesty from both boys is really admirable, but the question that remains now is how much of an impact did it have on that footy club and their ability to push on and push forward, and did reluctance of the senior group to go there permeate throughout the course of that group? And yeah, if they're not happy and they're dissatisfied, then it has an impact on the way you perform.
Wouldn't want to be auctioning my house at Seaford this week.
After the break, we're going to throw some lines open.
It's a lovely place, Tim.
Get back to front and centre with Hutto, half glass half full, glass half empty, and we'll get through the rest of the teams.
The Schnitz, handmade pan-cooked schnitzel, and Melbourne Airport parking. Up to 3 hours terminal parking, now only $24.
On 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
From our supporters' perspective, our encouragement is for them to embrace this year.
Our expectation is that we continue to improve and grow.
We know that our plans are pretty simple, pretty solid. We know that the players believe in it at this point.
Really, there's no ceiling on it. It's a young group, but it's really exciting. We want to grow.
More on the Saints story coming up, but we're front and centre at the moment at 22-9. We're doing glass half full, glass half empty on the Melbourne teams,
guys. What about the others?
Next week. Collingwood. Glass half full. Bucks is finally in full control of not just the team, but the club, as he articulated yesterday. He'll finally get the run with injuries he's craved, and the team can improve on what it did in 2018. Darcy Moore to defence. It's a masterstroke. Cox and Grundy swapping ruck and forward. Something different will give them a target and encourage the mids, where they've got great depth, to move it quicker. Glass half empty. Nothing's changed. Bucks is under pressure. Same key players. The key to scoring are injured or have been. The game plan looks the same. Cox as a forward will never work in a game that relies on forward pressure and forward half turnovers. And their training is crap. According to Jonathan Brown.
Are you a half full, half empty, Gary?
I hate to say it, because someone on this accused me of being a harsh marker on Collingwood. I'm a bit more half empty than half.
Tim?
I don't want to dodge this.
Yeah, well, you are, by the way you started.
But I just don't know.
Just answer it.
One day I'm a half full, the next day I'm a half empty.
What are you today?
Today I'm a half full. Yesterday I was a half empty.
Oh, you are weak.
I find them the one of the more difficult teams to get a handle on.
Them and Hawthorn are my two that I'm not quite sure on at this stage. Essendon, full, recruited the best of any team. Smith has shown to the JLT that he is going to be a class midfielder who can go forward. Saad will give them incredible run, and Stringer has knuckled down. They've got two of the best five young guns in the game in Danaher and Merritt. Joe could win the Coleman and the Brownlow. McGrath will join them soon. Maybe they made the eight last year and they'll only get better. Empty. They haven't addressed their needs, rely too much on winning the ball in the back half, and just don't work, and that just doesn't work anymore in big games. The midfield is slow. Stringer is unreliable. Fantasia is a huge loss at the start of the year. Relying on Joe Danaher when he kicks the way he does is fraught with danger.
Half full for me. Gary?
Half full.
Geelong.
Hey, can I just one question on that?
Yep.
Hooker, by the end of the year, will he be playing forward or back, do you think?
Well, you know my thoughts on that. I think he should be playing back. And the way footy's played, I think he should be playing back.
Yeah, I actually agree. And I wonder how long it will take before that happens. Geelong, full. Ablett, Dangerfield, Selwood. Need I say more? Actually, I will. Mitch Duncan, who has elevated himself almost to their levels. Averaged 29 disposals last year, an elite ball user. With Menegola, Young Kelly, Scott Selwood, Blitzarves and the wildcard Cockatoo, it's the best midfield in the comp. Some of them can go forward. 9 games at home, they make the top 4, they always do. Empty. Lost both games in the JLT. Ablett and Danger have already shown they're fragile. Clearly the Cats rely on the big three way too much. Joel Selwood's played 250 games. He's getting along in the teeth. Their defence is particularly vulnerable with Henderson injured and Mackie and Lonergan gone. Forward line gives no more confidence with so much relying on Hawkins. And big question marks over where the pressure will come from. Half full, half empty for the Cats.
I'm half full. I bought in very early in the piece to Dangerfield, Ablett, and so I'm a little bit concerned about the soft tissues, but I'm still on board.
I'm half full only because Ablett has arrived there. Had he not arrived there, I'd be half empty.
Right, that much difference.
Yep.
We saw him last night, Gaz, at the SEN launch.
Yeah, spoke to about that today already. He is so positive about the way his body's holding up. He said he's had that little issue, but he's 100% and he wants to be the midfield player. He don't want to be the forward. He wants to be the midfield player.
Hawthorn, half full. They have Clarko, the best in the business. Showed that last year. Moved everyone around. Burton, Howe, Sicily and others revealed. O'Meara has a year under his belt, ready to blossom. Mitchell has shown he can lead the midfield. Cyril's back. What a difference that makes. Ruffy will be better. And there are a host of multiple premiership players like Bruce Smith, Gunston, Puopolo, Shields, Stratton. You can't underestimate them. Half empty. Loss of Hodge and Gibson from defence. Significant, especially with Birchall still a long-term out. And it's unrealistic to expect too much of ageing players like Burgoyne and Roughhead. As good as those multiple premiership players are, it's hard to see who the elite players are at Hawthorn, other than maybe Mitchell and Burton in the future.
I'm half empty too,
and it's based on the fact that I had the feeling that O'Meara was going to be a star performer. I'm unsure about whether or not he's going to be able to reproduce what we saw early in his career.
I'm not a throw the keys out half empty job, you know, spit the dummy, this club's going nowhere. I think it's just the reality half empty that they've been up for so long and they're just going to take their time to rebuild.
They're going to have to restock their talent base though too.
Yep.
North Melbourne, half full. I got some help with this. I needed some. From a North fan. Goldie's back to his best, and what a difference that'll make. Ben Brown, one of the best young forwards in the comp and only getting better. Tarrant, Zeeble, Higgins, Cunnington will lead the way. Luke Davies, Uniacke, has North fans buzzing. Played seniors at Riot 16. Hartung can give them the run they need. Proust, Simpkin, Wood will make them better. Getting ready for next year's super draft.
very well done.
That means finishing down near the end.
Got you.
Empty. Two big losses in the JLT is about where North are at. The fact they still rely on Waite and Thompson shows that the talent underneath is still a long way off, other than Davies, Uniacke. Zeebel and Cunnington, Tarrant are tough, honest, fine players, but there just isn't enough class. Jury still out on the young players we saw last year for the first time.
They are rebuilding, half empty for me.
Same, half empty, and again, not the end of the world. Well, it is a bit because they didn't quite get there like the Hawks, but it is a half empty.
Okay, Bulldogs, half full. A year after they were after what happened, they are stung and want to prove 2016 was no fluke. They have the best young all-round star in the AFL in the Bont. They have likes of McRae and a revitalised Libber and a youngster and Aaron Norton who's a ready-made defender. At their best, they can create the forward half turnovers required in modern footy. They know how to play premiership football, and the versatility developed last year under Bevo will shine through this year. Half empty. Coach is upset. He's grumpy. He was a genius to pull off the flag. He did, but the moves last year didn't work as the players struggled to produce anywhere near their best. They've been beset by injuries again. Losing Adams and Morris exposes a young defence. It's hard to see where the winning score is going to come from. Eastern Wood looks like a fish out of water up forward so far, and Shacky is still a long way off.
I'm half full on this. I think I'm a big believer in Beveridge as a coach and what he's capable of producing. There's a lot of snarl about the Bulldogs, and I think that'll manifest itself in a really positive way on field.
I'm half empty. I just can't work out what they're doing forward of the ball, forward of the centre. I just can't see the clear pattern. None of those big, super tall guys have absolutely grabbed it by the throat at this stage, and that's my concern.
How many games do you think Shacky will play for them this year?
Six.
That's not many.
No, it's five. It's five more than one, and five more than...
That's four less than ten.
Two to go. St Kilda, half full. Move to Moorabbin, which is going to give the players and the club a huge boost, and the coffee shops. As good as they were, Revolt and Montagna's departure clears the air for a renewal and a new generation to put their own stamp. Billings and Gresham will join Stevens to lead the way. Ben Dixon's goal-kicking expertise will see them barely miss a shot in 2018, or else there'll be trouble for Dicko. Pat McCartan was number one draft pick for a reason. He's ready to go. Empty. We've heard it. We've all heard it. No proven stars now that Rui is gone. One pace midfield and a tall forward line in an era of pressure forwards. They're still too inconsistent and rely on manic pressure when they can't, which they can't seem to bring every week. They've had a good run with injuries for 2 years without making the eight, so that luck might run out. Plus, Gary has tipped them, I think, for 14th. Maybe that's half full, actually.
Yeah, I'm half empty on the Saints. I'm a little bit with Gary here. Gary said that the window... Well, no, you did say
the window.
I know, but you said that they missed their opportunity and they're going to head in the wrong direction. I'm a little bit with you. I think they've just about done as much as they can with their pressure football, and they are still going to be missing some quality top-end type talent at both ends of the field.
You stole my whole spiel. Well done.
Right. Okay. Last but not least of the Victorian teams, Melbourne, they are ready for the glass half full. Driven by the disappointment of missing out last year, like the Tigers and Dogs before, they're perfectly placed for the big jump up. Lever's inclusion gives them the intercept marking to add to their runners and ball users without a defence. Gorn is the best ruck in the AFL, and he's back. Viney, Oliver, Jones provide the grunt with Petrarca the class to get the ball to Hogan, who's ready to go again, and complemented by a versatile forward line, Bailey Fritsch, what a big addition. Good depth. They should at least make the top four. Half empty. They're still a young team. As Brownie says, they obviously have a soft underbelly because they didn't want to go to a tough camp. You'd have to be a bit worried about their run out of defence other than Hunt with older guys like Lewis and Vince back there. Lever's a good interceptor but hasn't proven he can do it one-on-one, and Oscar is vulnerable. Tom McDonald's unproven as a forward, and even Jesse Hogan we're not completely sold about. Expectations are very high, and we know how the Demons go when the expectations are high.
I'm with Gary. I'm a half full man on the Demons. Although I am concerned. I'm actually concerned about Jack Viney.
And Jack Viney.
And I'm also concerned about Tom McDonald as well.
Because what's going on with toes at the moment?
Well, what's going on with Tom McDonald in a hot spot on his foot? That's a real concern, yeah, I would have thought.
I'm with you. I'm concerned about both those.
Because he's a vitally important player, either as the backup key position defender, but also the fact that they were going to send him forward this week to accompany Jesse, or this year to accompany Jesse Hogan. So that is a real concern.
Outstanding debut from Hutto front and centre. You and Jared Waitley tonight calling is going to be special for SEN listeners.
Special.
you two have called before, but not on radio.
No, we haven't. Only twice before together. And so looking forward to it. It's going to be fantastic. So can't wait for a massive weekend of footy. I've been a bit crook. It's been a bit of a race against time, but
you've been crook.
I'll be there.
You are a trooper.
And from normally on Front and Centre each week, I want to have Coach Gary and Coach Jim. I'll ask some questions about the weekend ahead. We obviously, with the Saints story taking over, we didn't get time for that this morning, but I'm looking forward to that each week, boys.
Looking forward to listening tonight. I've had a look at all the whole radio schedule and across the gamut of calling.
And
where
have you got our team?
There's only one place and only one team you want to be listening to tonight. I'll give you the tip right now. Hudson and Waitley.